Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And good morning. Oh, what a glorious Saturday morning it is. My name is Lynette, along with Dr. Samira Umat. Dr. Jerry Mixon has the weekend off. We decided to let him take a day off.
I just realized, Lynette, you said glorious Saturday morning.
Yes.
And we used to be in a small, dark room, and now the size of this room is bigger, and we're still saying glorious.
Glorious.
And yeah,
yes.
We're actually feeling a little glorious.
Yes,
aren't
we are. We're looking at this, and during the breaks, I'm up walking around, checking out the new furniture, all the equipment, and all the electronic stuff. That, of course, is my favorite thing. And this backdrop is amazing. I think I might need one of these in my home. It's a wooden...
I don't think they're done yet because
yeah,
I keep
they
hearing
more things to
they
add.
Have a moss wall or something.
Yes.
I'm waiting for the plants. Now, he did tell me this week that the plants are not going to make oxygen for us. They are artificial.
Oh, they are.
So okay. I was like, okay, but I was excited about the wall.
Yes, we can tuck some little ones in there and maybe get some of those.
Yeah, hide some of your little ones. Okay.
Yes, waiting for that next phone caller. Go ahead and call in 1-800-465-8770. Longevity, of course, has been around since Dr. Mixon began this 29 years ago, the radio show about 26 years. I only know that because it's the same age as my daughter. She turns 26 this month.
All right.
Yes. And longevity. Become a patient. So many people that call in on our show are patients. We have a lot that are not. But you want to know about membership? This is what we can do for you. Longevity Medical Clinics. We have three locations for you in Kirkland, Tacoma, and Linwood. And it's not scary if you come in for that free health analysis. We just want to get to know who you are. Take a look at some of your past history. In the words of Dr. Mixon, what life has done to you so far concerning your health? What things have you had to deal with? Maybe surgeries, maybe some chronic illnesses, maybe a recent diagnosis. Then we do two tests. It's a simple blood test to see what your A1C is and an in-body test, which lets the doctors know what percentage of your body is muscle and water and fat, and lets you know what you're at risk for because of all these things together. What things can you be at risk for coming up? Eventually, as we age, and we all age, things like diabetes and cancers, dementia, heart disease, sexual dysfunction, and so much more. We want to get you in here so that we can do some preventative maintenance. We don't want you in here as your diagnosis is taking you down, although we'll do as much as we can to help get you as healthy as you can be as you continue with your life. But we want to get you in, even when you're feeling great. If you're feeling good and you're at 50, age 60, even 70 or 80, and you're like, I feel great. I don't need a doctor. You know what? Come on in. Let's see what's going on in your world and your life. Then there's another blood test that we encourage you to take, and that's the one I did. The panel that checks everything. And Dr. Umat, maybe you can talk a little about this because it's checking more than just what your blood sugar would be for diabetes.
Yeah, absolutely. How should I say this? So let me think. You know, when we buy a car, we take our car in for servicing regularly.
Yep, got to get that tune-up.
I'll groan about it, but I'd rather get it done than not, especially if you're planning a long trip and go like, you know, when was the last service? Do I want to take this? And basically, your body is the same thing. You don't want to just wait till the tire's punctured or till the brake pad is just worn away and you know that you can't stop when you need to stop. You need to make sure that it is tuned up at all times, and especially when, you know, you're using it every day for everything constantly.
Oh, yes. And you want a reliable vehicle. You want a reliable body, too.
That's right. So basically, that's what this is. This is risk stratification. It's prevention. It's finding out what is wearing out and preventing it from causing you a problem before it causes you a problem. Mm-hmm. That's the way I would think about it. So what does a blood test tell us? So the in-body and the blood test that is for free basically gives us a screening tool and gives us an idea of where you're at. The doctor you will meet will go, or in Tacoma, Sherry, amazing human being, just go meet her. She's just incredible. You will basically find out what longevity does at that visit. But then if you decide to go ahead and do the blood draw, there is a charge for that, $595. But the blood draw looks at a whole host of issues. We don't do just a comprehensive metabolic panel or a complete blood count. Those are easy, basic. Your doctor can do that for you all day and night. It's a very, very cheap test. But what we're looking for is signals from the brain, FSH, LH, telling us where is your hormonal status? What are your absolute hormone levels? We're not looking at just testosterone or estrogen in women. We're looking for progesterone, pregnenolone, DHEA. We're looking for the precursors of the hormones that impact on function. We're looking for the neurotransmitters coming from the brain to tell us about that function. In thyroid, we are looking for three different things, which basically does not just the screening test, which is the TSH, which is done by everybody, but we're looking for absolute numbers of the free hormone. And what then does that mean in terms of your metabolic function? Remember, T4 crosses the blood-brain barrier and is important for memory. T3 does not cross the blood-brain barrier and is important for metabolic function. So we're looking for that. We're looking for your absolute sugar value, but also how does that respond to a sugar load when you're given a sugar load? Are you at metabolic risk? Are you insulin insensitive? How much insulin are your pancreas making? Are you stressing your pancreas out? Mm. And so that is a spectrum. Remember, you don't suddenly just become sick one day, unless if you have an infection. You really, chronic disease is a spectrum. You start to develop resistance, insulin resistance, metabolic dysfunction, cardiovascular disease, cognitive dysfunction over a period of time. And slowly it progresses until you reach a parameter one day when we say, oh, now you have the active disease. So those parameters are created by us for insurance purposes so that you can be, you know, your insurance can now pay for this treatment. But overall, the continuum of disease that has been going on for literally decades, if you knew that continuum is leading you to that journey, would you not stop it in the beginning?
Yes.
Absolutely, you would.
Yes.
And that's what we do. We look for that continuum. We know what's coming if you don't address it. We look for that continuum. We look for that risk. We look for what is happening to you. And we also do some genetics. You know, we do genetic studies to look for what were you predisposed to? What is your DNA telling us? So that first $595 test does not include the genetic test. We do it later on for you, though, if you need it. But that's what we do. We look at the basics that we get from you. We look at nutritional levels, vitamin levels. We look for inflammation markers, heart health, cholesterol levels. We look for a whole host of things that tell us where do you stand today. And when you give us your medical history and your family history, we then do some risk stratification for you, and we basically connect the dots. As detectives work, we basically tell you what this picture is saying to us. And as medical providers, we have experience in this, but specifically focused on age management medicine, we know what the future is holding for you because you've given us a picture of what is today. You've given us a history about what is in the family and what has happened to you. And we use those tools to say, based on what you have said to me, you are at risk for this, 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 or not. And what do you do today, now, and going forth to reduce your risk and to lower the likelihood of this becoming a problem for you. And so early detection and diagnosis is very critical. And I can't even count the countless patients where I've sent them to my other colleagues and friends for early diagnosis and interventions that have saved their lives.
Yes, yes.
And that's what this is about.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Which is why we call the company Longevity. We would love to have you come in and become a patient. But first, let's do a free health analysis and see where you are and what is going on with your body and find out what you're at risk for. You can make your appointment by going online. Simple. Just pick the day and the time that works best for you and the clinic. We have a clinic in Kirkland, Tacoma, and in Linwood. And you can go to our website at lmclinic.com. That's lmclinic.com. Or you can call and talk to a person, and they'll help get you set up with a day that'll work best for your busy schedule. 866-86-YOUNG is the number to go to. 866-86-YOUNG. All right, we're going to take another caller here, and you can call in too. 1-800-465-8770. We have Bonnie from Edmonds on the line. Hi there, Bonnie. Good morning.
Good morning, Bonnie.
Good
Welcome
morning.
To the show.
Thank you. I'm calling because sometimes I don't get up early enough to listen to your this early morning show, but I was up. It's a beautiful day, and I want to get going, and I was listening, and you folks were talking about GERD. And I've just noticed lately that my voice is a little hoarser, and anyway, I just, all of a sudden, you helped me remember that I was told to take a teaspoon of baking soda in a glass of water.
Okay.
And within several minutes, you belch.
Uh-huh.
And you get rid of that gas, and it helps immensely. And the other thing is, I think Dr. Mixon talked about this, that your esophagus closes when you have enough acid in your stomach. People think it's too much acid, but the more acid you have, the better, because that's what digests your food. So there's a little valve that closes down because you have the acid helps with that. And if you don't have enough acid, not enough acid, that valve won't close. And that is why it comes back up again, the food.
Mm. Yeah, there are many mechanisms that can cause that valve to cause dysfunction and, you know, obesity, lack of muscle tone, lack of hormonal support. They're all also part and parcel of that. And the important thing with reflux is that what you just mentioned, Bonnie, is that sometimes the symptoms are not typical and not just with pain. It could be with something like you said, hoarseness, which we talked about briefly. But yes, hoarseness, and people think that, you know, there's something wrong with the vocal cords, but it's not. It's the reflux that's coming back from the stomach that is causing that hoarseness.
And as we age, I remember the doctors were talking last week or the week before that as we age, we have less stomach acid.
That's right. Our stomach acid content decreases as we get older, yet the acidity in the stomach is what breaks down the macromolecules into smaller molecules that are needed for function.
And so what I'm saying is that people who take milk, Tums and all that stuff, well, all they're doing is cutting down the acid, and they need acid. And
right.
They don't understand that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hear the music.
Oh, and Bonnie, would you like to stay on? Did you have any other comments or questions?
Well, you know, not right now, but I will call back later if I can drum up a few things. But I just wanted to let you know all that.
Because
absolutely. Okay.
That's so great.
Good.
Thank you for calling, Bonnie.
You're
welcome. It's simple. Simple.
Yes. Enjoy your day. Yes,
thank
like
you.
With any
well.
with any medication, if you're taking it too much, it's like, okay, something's going on. Like Dr. Umat had said, we don't want those underlying chronic conditions to point to something else.
A little glass of diluted vinegar.
There you go.
Dinner, it helps.
There you go. That's a good thing. Thank you, Bonnie. We'll take a quick break here, and we'll be right back with more Leading Edge Medicine. Here's that number to get through. Phone lines are open at 1-800-465-8770. We'll be right back. There we go. Oh, yes, life's a dance that you learn as you go, and we all learn. Aren't we so much wiser now than we were in our teens and 20s and 30s? And
are we?
Yeah, I like to think so. It's like the song said, I sure wish I knew now what I wish I would have known now what I didn't
was
know then.
That Dr. Yeah. Mixon says all the time, youth is wasted on the young.
Yes, yes. Oh, yeah. All right. You ready for another question here? Let's go to the phones. If you've got a question for Dr. UMAT today, 1-800-465-8770 is the number to call. We have Kate calling in right now from Seattle. Hi there, Kate. Good morning.
Hello, Kate.
Good morning. I believe I must have gotten a spider bite, and it's red about a 50-cent size, but not going up my arm. And I'm wondering, is there anything that I can do without having to go to the store and get Benadryl or whatever?
Wow. So
a little itchy too.
Okay. Kate, when I hear spider bites, I really do get scared. And again, you know, I'm on the radio, so I cannot see it. But if you have redness, and I would use ice, obviously, to keep it cool, keep it elevated a little bit. But without being able to see it, I don't, you know, there's not much I can tell you except that some spider bites, not all spider bites are the same. Some are more dangerous than others. And if the ice and elevation doesn't get rid of the redness and swelling, and or if the redness and swelling continues to get worse, and if it's associated with any other systemic symptoms, then I think you should go in and get the Benadryl or go in and get seen.
Yeah. When did you get the bite, do you think, Kate?
Well, I think perhaps yesterday, last night.
Okay. So this is new. All right.
Okay. Yeah, and did you notice the swelling just this morning?
Correct. Yeah, it wasn't last night. But, yeah.
Okay. And is it right? Is it getting worse? Is it staying the same?
So far, it is. Now, silly me, I didn't think about it, and I itched it a little bit this morning, but
okay.
But not anymore.
Okay.
It got swollen.
Okay. You know, take a picture of it and then keep observing it carefully over the next little while. If it is getting worse, then you do want somebody to take a look at it, especially if you kind of develop some pustules or, you know, starts looking angry and infected. But do put some ice on it. Mm. See if the ice will cause the swelling to go down, and then keep the, I don't know, where on your arm is it?
It's down by my wrist.
Okay, just elevate the wrist a little bit. So if you're sitting down, just keep the wrist elevated, like your elbow elevated, you know, bent so that your wrist is elevated, and see if it kind of just eases up in the next little bit, okay?
Okay, and, you know, I've never been allergic before, but it's, mm-hmm. you know, now that I'm almost 80,
is
that something that happens when you get older?
You're right. Well, not necessarily. Getting a redness and itching for no apparently reason does not happen. But if you have a bite or something, yes. And you shouldn't be more allergic unless if you're exposed to something that you haven't been exposed to before. So, yes, no, age does not cause increased allergies in and of itself.
Oh, thank you for explaining that. I appreciate it so much.
You are so welcome. Thank you for calling, and I hope you get better soon.
Yes, take care of that bite.
Thank you.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
All right. Good luck with that.
All right. Thank you, Kate. The number to get through today, 1-800-465-8770. We're going to stay in Seattle. We have Donna on the line with a question for Dr. UMAT. Hi there, Donna. Welcome.
Good morning, Donna.
Oh, thank you. Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we mm-hmm. hear you.
Hello.
Hi there.
Thank you, Dr. UMAT. Hi. I'm calling because my husband has been diagnosed with a brain tumor, and we're not sure it's a glioma, but it could be. And he has been on testosterone injections for a number of years. And so we're wondering, is it safe to continue that or not?
Donna, so sorry to hear about your husband's diagnosis. Yeah, just so sorry to hear that. So how old is your husband?
He's 83.
Okay. And was the diagnosis made recently?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so in May, yes.
Okay. So, again, I'm so sorry. You know, this is a hard thing that you and your family are going through right now. It sounds like you're still in the early phases of the diagnosis and you know, treatment protocols that might be available. Some brain tumors are very slow growing, and then some obviously are life-threatening, and they shorten lifespans. Mm-hmm. So without knowing what this is, very difficult to say. But my question is, how does testosterone therapy help your husband?
He says it gives him a lot of strength and just, basically the strength and, you know, better feeling, stamina.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he just feels like a lump.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So he notices a difference when he takes his testosterone.
Yes. Years ago, he was a longevity patient, and that's how he, I think that's how he started with the testosterone, but anyhow, he has continued to take it, and he was under the care of an endocrinologist.
Very good. Good.
But at this point, all the doctors said, stop it. Don't take any hormones. Don't take DHEA. Don't take pregnenolone. Don't take anything. And he's frustrated.
Oh, well, that's understandable. Mm-hmm. So without knowing what kind of tumor this is, I'm a little bit hard-pressed. I don't see the reason to stop it, but if his treating and endocrinologist and oncologist are telling you to stop it, then you have to follow their lead, unfortunately. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you want to send us a little bit more information through email on Contact Us, I will be happy to look at it in more depth when you find out what is the tumor, what is the stage, has it spread or not. Then I'm happy to look at it with you, more specifically related to your husband's needs, and I can give you a little bit of recommendations. But unfortunately, without having all of that, I'm at a little bit of a disadvantage. But because you do want the treating physicians to treat you well, you want to at least initially follow their lead until you can gather more information yourself. Obviously, if this is something that is hurting him or harming him, then you don't want to take it. But if it is not related at all, then there is no reason, and it might just be a matter of talking to your provider. So in the beginning, I would follow their lead, but I would question it as you get more information and learn more about what this tumor is and what are the potential consequences. Is it a metastatic lesion? Is it coming from somewhere else? Is it primary in the brain? We don't know any of that, and that'll all be important to know. Okay?
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate that very much, Dr. Umat. Thank you.
You're welcome,
and,
Donna.
I could just email through the Longevity Clinic.
Yes, we have a Contact Us on our website. So just go to that Contact Us and just send me an email. Okay? They will forward
all
it
right,
to me.
Thank
it doesn't
you,
come to me directly. It'll come to our customer service, but they will send it to me. Okay?
Sounds great. Thank you.
Sending you lots of hugs and love. Okay?
Oh, yes.
Good luck.
Thank you for calling, Donna.
Bye-bye.
Oh, that's a big one, especially when you're in that first stages of diagnosis and understanding what is it, what could it be.
Where is it coming from? Is it metastatic? Is it a primary? Some are slow growing, some are significant, and, you know, comes back to that same thing I was talking about earlier today when our first caller called about the gallery test.
Yes.
And so, you know, I just, every day I hear, I wish I had something else that I had done before to, you know, prevent something. You kind of feel like,
yes,
you had the glass that told you what if. And so, mm-hmm. anyway, I wish him well, and I
yes.
hope that they get some answers to some of their questions.
Yes, absolutely. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette, along with Dr. Samira Umat. Dr. Mixon is off this weekend, and we would love to have you call in. We have about a half hour left of our show today and room for you in our call queue. Here's the number. It's 1-800-465-8770. Coming up next, we'll be talking about UTIs, the urinary tract infection, and confusion. And possibly dementia. In just a moment, stay right there. Yes, when we get our video stream going, you'll be able to see Dr. Umat grooving to the music that we feature here on Leading Edge Medicine. All right, so
you know, the funny thing is, I don't have a sense of music.
Oh,
I don't
my goodness.
I cannot sing. I'm a horrible dancer.
Oh, no. You were the best dancer in the studio today. So...
Because I'm the only one.
That's right. And I can't. No.
You did not dance. You just sat there. So if I'm the
That's
only
one. That's right. Woohoo.
Oh, you're funny.
Oh, boy. Yes, we're taking your calls. 1-800-465-8770. Had a question from a listener. His name is Jeff. He wanted to know about his mother. She's 81 years old, and she suffers from UTIs, the urinary tract infections. And we know as we age, and especially being women,
yes,
we tend to deal with that more as we age.
Yep.
She has a lot of confusion, but now they're in the first stages. They're saying, you know what? We think she has dementia. Yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
It's a tough place, and I feel for the family. As women, maybe men get older, you know, things just kind of don't function as well. But women particularly, there is a declination of hormones, and estrogen is so important in maintaining optimal vaginal health. And with vaginal dryness, there comes, just increased risk for infections. And also the other thing is, women have to be very careful when they wipe and how they clean. You have to go from front to back, because if you don't, you can actually populate that area with bacteria that are coming from the other outlet. And so you are causing and creating more infections. And then as we get older, we tend to get confused about thirst receptors and hunger receptors, and we tend to drink less water. We also decrease water intake because we think that we'll have to pee more, and you know, you don't want to go to the bathroom. You don't want to wake up at night. So people restrict water intake too. But hydration, normal vaginal mucosa health, and maintaining that health, preventing dryness, preventing repopulation of bacteria in that is very important for preventing urinary tract infections. So at age 81, I'm sorry to hear the diagnosis, but one of the things I've learned over the years is that when you have an active infection, even if you don't have the typical symptoms of fever and white count elevation, but you have an infection, the first symptom can actually be confusion. So a lot of times as we get older, we don't present with the classical symptoms of an infection. We may present with confusion. Mm. We may present with just fatigue. People just get tired. They don't want to get up. They don't want to do what they normally do. And they're a little bit confused. And that, unless proven otherwise, is an infection in an older person.
Okay.
So you have to rule out those. But if you already know that this person has a urinary tract infection, then the cognitive cognitive impairment can go hand in hand with that unless they get adequate amount of antibiotic therapy. Mm-hmm. And you have to be very active with the antibiotic therapy, get it in quickly in a timely manner, prevent them from getting into septicemia, because septicemia can cause worsening of the confusion, and then it can cause multi-organ failure in an older person. So
you've
got to be aggressive in the management in an older person. And make sure that there are no medications that they're taking that are predisposing them to this risk. And take a critical look. So herein, I find my gerontology colleagues very important, because they will tell you, and if you've heard me say this before, in an older person, the first, second, and third cause of disease is medication, medication, and medication. Yes, it is possible that recurrent urinary tract infections can cause confusion. And they can mask the symptoms of dementia sometimes. Yes, it is possible that an older person does get dementia. But when you have a sudden onset of a symptom, you have to question what precipitated it suddenly. If it is a sudden onset and they're suddenly saying, oh, she has dementia, then something caused it. That doesn't happen suddenly. Dementia doesn't suddenly appear.
No.
Okay.
Apparently she's had the confusion a lot, and they're just assuming that it's UTIs. But now hallucinating, that kids are visiting, friends are visiting people that have been gone for a while or
so
don't live.
She probably with the UTI has an electrolyte imbalance of some sort, maybe a possibility. That electrolyte imbalance can cause hallucinations. And in elderly people, they're very prone to this. So if she's already dehydrated because of the urinary tract infection, now she has an electrolyte imbalance, she's probably not eating as well, she probably is hurting to pee, she's probably not going to pee.
Yes.
So there might be other things that are causing an imbalance in her metabolic pathways. So looking for that and getting her a good blood test is important. Sometimes, you know, nutritional deficiencies will appear as this. Now, I don't know her whole story, but I would basically say a good blood test, a good diagnosis, an adequate treatment, and taking a full look at her medication list and making sure that none of them are causing it, because hallucination stones just suddenly appear. Something is causing it, and finding that cause will then help them get to a resolution much better and faster.
Okay. Yeah. This is a woman that has lived on her own and has her own home.
Yeah. You know, and sometimes, you know, like I'm remembering a particular patient that suddenly appeared with hallucinating, and then they found out that this lady had a brain tumor.
Okay.
So, you know, something could be going on that is not diagnosed yet that is causing this. But dementia doesn't happen suddenly. There is a cause for it if it happens suddenly, and you have to find what that cause is.
Is there a test? Do they find out about dementia with a CT or an MRI, something physical?
No, unfortunately, it's not that easy.
Okay.
For dementia, you really do need to do we start with what we call the mini mental status exam in the offices.
Okay.
And if a patient fails, that is basically 30 simple questions the patient is asked. And we score them out of those questions. And if they fall less than 27 and they get, a lower score, then they have mild cognitive impairment.
Okay.
And when we diagnose that, then we send them for more cognitive evaluation. But sometimes it's obvious, like if a patient doesn't remember the day, the date, the year, the season, they can't tell you any
who the president
thing.
Is.
Right, right. So you know that this person, so you can do a quick screen in the office, you can ask him a few basic questions and you'll know whether there is some element of cognitive impairment or not.
Okay.
But then after that, they do need screening. We're looking for amyloid deposits in the brain. Your neurologist will order those tests. There are certain blood tests that they will do. And when they see that global picture, they will give a diagnosis. Remember also, sometimes certain other medical conditions like Parkinson's disease will mimic dementia too. So you really do want to know which one is it?
Okay. That's
and
good to know.
And other symptoms like hallucinations will point in a certain direction. Parkinson's has certain other. So you want to get the right treatment. And sometimes it's not that clear cut.
Okay. Okay. So the only reason the MRIs and CTs would be good is to rule out a mass or a tumor.
Also
or
to
a
look
cancer.
For amyloid deposits,
okay.
to look for the demyelination symptoms, any other things that, you know, brain atrophy. If the brain is atrophied, then yes, they'll say, okay, yeah,
okay,
likelihood
this is
it
what?
Is. Yeah. So yes, I would say get a neurologist. And I mean, if she has a UTI, she needs an infectious disease person to order the right antibiotics or primary care. Our internist mm-hmm. can do that. And then if they determine that she needs a further evaluation for dementia, they'll usually send to a neurologist.
Very good. And then look at the medications that she's taking, too, to
Absolutely.
Make sure.
Absolutely, yes.
All
Very
right.
important.
Now, we have a few minutes before our next break, and still room for another phone call, 800-465-8770. If you've got a question for Dr. Umat, that's 1-800-465-8770. All right, so UTIs are in our future.
Well,
I always think of this
yeah.
because my mom dealt with them for a lot, but she did a lot of the right things. And what are some of those things, preventative things that we can do now to help prevent?
Well, women are more prone. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons is that there's a declination of hormones. So estrogen receptors in the vaginal mucosa maintains good, healthy mucous membranes. And when that estrogen level is gone away, you basically have a tendency to dryness. Mm. And then dryness creates the right environment for bacterial growth. Friction causes pain, and then when you're scratching or you're itchy or you have pain, then that causes more bacterial growth, and then that predisposes you to a urinary tract infection. So the bladder basically isn't emptying properly. It's growing more organisms that are not conducive to health, and they cause inflammation and infection. And then when the vaginal health is not appropriate, it kind of, you know, amplifies the condition and then predisposes women to more infections. And an easy way, especially in perimenopause and in postmenopausal women, is to get on a good hormone replacement therapy program. That helps you maintain optimal vaginal mucosa. And that optimal prevents basically the colonization of bacteria that cause disease. And that can cause symptoms that are associated with that disease, fever, infection, and also then pain and itching and redness and swelling. So you want to prevent that with the right hygiene, right approach, you know, like I was mentioning, how you wipe, what you do, drink plenty of fluids, keep yourself well hydrated. But if you are constantly prone to this, then look at the pH mucosa of the mucosa. Is it becoming more alkaline? It needs to be more acidic. What is missing in that environment, and then keep it clean. Use cotton underwear as opposed to synthetic, and maintain proper hygiene in that area. Treat vaginal fungal infections quickly also, because they're more predisposed to that too if the pH of the mucosa changes.
Okay.
You know, if they have a uterus and the uterus is prolapsing, it's getting infected. So there's a lot of different etiologies. So a good exam is important to find out, are they prolapsing? Is there an infection? Is it the mucosa changing? What is really happening? Are they emptying the bladder completely? You do that with urodynamic studies. And then once you know what is happening, then getting them on appropriate therapy. But as you're getting older, we do know for a fact that declination of hormones is changing the mucosa, and that is also predisposing you to treatment, to risk for infection. And, you know, stress incontinence is also very common. So women that have had children in childbearing years, they basically become more lax in that area, and then they have stress incontinence. So when they're coughing, when they're straining, there's dribbling of urine, when they're running, jogging, jumping, and that dribbling of urine constantly also predisposes them to bladder infections. And that is something that should be addressed very early, and there are now non-surgical ways to treat them with Vitalia, with radiofrequency therapy, that is not hormonal, that basically just improves vaginal health by stimulating collagen growth with radiofrequency treatment, no downtime at all, a few treatments over the course of a year. So three treatments, one every month for a session is what I recommend. And that can actually prevent stress incontinence from getting worse. And that's without any hormones. And then you can think about what your hormone levels are. And again, it's not just to prevent this one area of a problem. It's basically to look for the global impact of that hormone or complex of hormones that are involved in hormonal replacement therapy. It's not just about estrogen and testosterone. There's a whole cascade, the hypothalamic pituitary axis that has to be addressed. You give one and it is going to impact on others and that's going to impact on you. But they all have function. And just because you're getting older and you're now 81 doesn't mean that those hormones will not perform the same function for you if given. But again, for the right person, for the right reason, in the right dose, in the right route, at the right time.
There you go. There you go.
A mouth full of rights.
That's right. Thank you, Dr. Umat. We will be back with John. We're going to talk about pneumonia, sleep, and low energy issues in just a moment. Stay right there. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. And if you have a question for Dr. Umat, here's the number. It's 1-800-465-8770. We'll be right back.
If the devil danced in empty pockets, he'd have a ball in mind. With a 9-foot grin, a 10-piece band, and a 12-foot chorus line. I'd raise some loot in a 3-piece suit, give one dance for a dime. If the devil danced in empty pockets, he'd have a ball in mind.
Welcome back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. And if Dr. Mixon were here, he would be up and dancing to that song. He likes that one. Hi there. I'm Lynette here with Dr. Samira Umat. And we have the last few minutes of our show today. We have John on the line calling in from Bellevue. Good morning, John.
Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning. So I started feeling sick about a month ago with, you know, fever and whatnot, and I thought I might have COVID. I did a test, and that didn't, it sure enough, negative. And then I went to my doctor, and the next to the urgent care because I was feeling dizzy and headaches. And they did a COVID test; it was negative. And then a few days later, I went in, and the doctor said to get an X-ray for my lungs because I might have pneumonia. So they couldn't see anything specific. And I talked to him the following Monday. This was on Friday. And then by Wednesday night, I was really feeling bad. I went in and they did a CT scan and found out I have pneumonia. So I've been on antibiotics for basically almost 3 weeks on and off a little bit. I've had, they prescribed amoxicillin and then another one that starts with an A. And now I'm on one that starts with an L, but with this warmer weather too, it's just been hard to sleep, and my apnea, sleep apnea has been, rough. But I'm just lacking energy, and I've been eating and drinking, quite a bit. But I'm just wondering if there's anything that's just besides rest and just, trying to get through the, it's bacterial pneumonia. So I don't know if there's a specific diet or beverages. I mean, I've been drinking, Gatorades and, mixing it with water, so I'm not drinking it straight, but trying to get, eight to 10 glasses of fluid a day at least. So I just was wondering if there's any other suggestion that, I'm not having a hard time breathing, but I am still coughing a lot. My fever is gone. My oxygen levels are like 97, 98. My blood pressure has been a lot lower, but it's starting to come back. I guess it's kind of a general question as far as, when you're sick.
Yeah.
Do you have any protocol for, taking extra supplements or dietary things that would help?
Sure. Great question, John. So sorry you're going through all this, and, 3 weeks is a long time. I was recently sick with a viral, and I know what it feels like. So, John, do you mind telling me how old you are?
I'm 71.
Okay. So
I weigh 152 pounds.
Okay.
And I've been active and member at a gym and, working out. I'm an organic gardener, and I do, so I'm very active. So you know, I'm glad I've been able to get through this without, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. You're doing all the right things.
Yeah. No, absolutely. You're right. The more active you are, and the better you eat, the more chances are that you'll come out of this well. And I hope you will. And you probably will if this is just a lung infection and your O2 sats are now good and your blood pressure is good. Your heart rate should also slow down a little bit and get better, because with a fever and with an infection, it can rise. With the right antibiotic therapy, you will recover, and you just want to make sure that you get adequate amount of treatment for the right amount of duration. And in terms of being proactive, hydration and diet are very important. I would avoid sugary foods and high glycemic index foods, and I would eat probably more foods that are rich in nourishment. And then water is probably the best. Electrolytes are good, so some people do recommend Gatorade, especially if you have nausea and vomiting and you're not able to take enough fluid intake. And then over and above that, in terms of supplements, I do have my patients take extra vitamin C. We also have echinacea in the office, and I like that. And during an active infection, I do put patients on high doses of immune factor E. It does help slow down the infective process, and recovery is a little bit faster. So echinacea, vitamin C, I'm fond of. If you are low in vitamin D, I would also say take extra vitamin D. And then as you get better, think about doing an IV therapy of a Myers cocktail. I did that when I was sick, and I do think it helped my recovery process. And it's easy to get that. Basically, you get IV of multiple nutrients. It includes vitamin B complex, vitamin C, and some other antioxidants. And you just get basically some nourishment right into the vascular tree. So I am fond of that. So being a little proactive as you are is a good idea. And I think it'll help in that process of recovery.
Well, I've been taking around 5,000 to 5,500 vitamin D and about 3,000 vitamin C every day for the last several years. So when you say
bump up the vitamin C, your D is probably optimal, but you should have it checked. Bump up, because I have seen some people that are low even on that dose. So I do measure. I won't increase without measuring. You can bump up your vitamin C. If you've been taking 3,000, you can go up by a couple of thousand more right now. And then echinacea.
Okay.
In our clinic, it is immune factor E.
Okay. All right. Well, hopefully I'll be recovered in time to come in. I came in and got the blood draw for the test, and I'll be coming in about 2 weeks to go over that. But I'm just so bored and so tired of not being able to exercise.
Sure.
You know, just sitting around, just picking berries and peas and having energy to do that and water everything.
Give your body the chance to recover, John, okay?
Yeah. Thanks for the advice on the echinacea and the C, and I appreciate your time.
You're very welcome. If you're not on a good multivitamin, that also is a good idea, to take a good multivitamin.
That's a good point, because I've got a multivitamin, but for some reason when I've taken multivitamins, I get nauseated from the B. I've had B12 energy shots before from Purity, and they've seemed to help, but I guess maybe I should try to get that in going again, but I don't know if I'm getting enough vitamin B. I do eat fresh organic greens every day.
Right. And many people do tell me that, you know, the vitamin Bs, they don't like the taste of it, or they don't like to take it orally. So the Myers cocktail will overcome that. And then, of course, as you also said, the vitamin B shots, vitamin B12 intramuscular injections are also common. I just think that when you're sick, you're just not getting enough nourishment in, and your body's system is asking for more. Your immune system is compromised, and you need to give it a little bit more nourishment. And unfortunately, we're so tired and lethargic, we don't sleep, we don't eat well, and so the risk for ongoing problems increases. And then as we get older, our ability to recover is also compromised. So giving our system a little bit of a boost with natural substances and herbals is actually very helpful.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I hope you get better soon, and thank you for calling. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Have a good day.
You're welcome. You too. Thank you.
Okay. Just a few minutes left. We have one last caller, Don, calling in from Des Moines. Hi there, Don. Welcome.
Hello, Don.
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
I am a longevity patient for a couple of years and very impressed with the outcome. I have done senescent cell treatment a number of times. So my question is, how frequently would you recommend engaging in the senescent cell protocol? And how frequently should one take Curitin? I've seen reports where some doctors recommended taking it as part of your daily routine.
Yeah, great question, Don. So how old are you, Don?
I am 61, young lady.
All right. Let's keep you young and healthy.
Yes.
So
you guys are.
Number yes. You know, yeah, age is just a number.
Mm-hmm.
It's all other things. So tell me, what does senescent cell therapy do for you?
Well, when I first started a year and a half ago, and I actually called the radio show, I lost 65 pounds over a course of 2 months. I was able to run up, when I first started it, I was able to run up 3 flights of stairs barely. A month and a half later, I'm running up that same flight of stairs 10 times.
Wow.
And I didn't understand what was going on. And then I called your radio show, and Dr. Mixon just really, really simply said, well, it sounds like you make some tremendous improvement. And I never really thought of it in that way. So I've continued with the senescent cell treatment.
Great.
Good.
And how frequently
Moreover, I had shoulder surgery a year ago.
Okay.
And my surgeon was really impressed with the recovery. And I attribute much of that to the Dr. Jimenez and Longevity Clinic, the senescent cell testosterone application to the injury site. So yeah. I've been very impressed with it.
Okay. So the answer to your question is we don't really know. There is no published article that says that senescent cell therapy protocol should be repeated at this frequency, in this dose, in this age group, and then it should be changed as we age or not. And so my good guesstimate answer to you would be whenever the benefit that you notice is going away. So say, for example, shoulder pain. If you notice that your shoulder pain is coming back, and if it is 1 month later, 2 months later, 3 months later, that would be the time when you should think about going ahead and repeating that program. And so whatever benefit, so what I tell my patients is think about what you are hoping will improve. If you notice some significant improvement in a particular issue, then when that starts to recur or something new is happening, that's when you want to repeat it. Okay? And quercetin was your other question. I'm sorry I got to go.
Yeah.
But if you want to call back on the other show, we can continue this. I think you should take quercetin regularly at your age because it does help with allergy symptoms. Have many of my patients take it regularly, okay? And I got to go because of the music, and we're at the end of the show. But if you want to call me at my other show, I'll be happy to talk to you more, okay?
Yep, stay on the line, and our producer... Yep, stay
thank
on the
you.
Line, and the producer will get that info to you. Have a great rest of your day. We'll be back.